Right, Monique Steele is in with the Rural News. Kia ora, good morning.
Tēnā koe, Corin.
Now, a solar farm, wind farm, oh no, what is it? Solar farm project, I should say, in the Rangitaiki district that has got up and going, has it?
Yes, the green light is gone for a new 38-hectare solar farm project, which has gained resource consent to build in the small town of Martin near Whanganui. Developer Far North Solar Farm is planning the construction and financing of the 40-megawatt peak farm, which it says could generate electricity for around 7,800 homes once it's completed. FNSF plans to start the project later this year. Company spokesperson Greg Hay says it's a great way for farmers to generate income.
The site is currently farmland in Martin. It's on a leasehold arrangement with the landowner. The panels will be on a fixed tilt design, which means that they'll be fixed to the ground and face north. The farmer will still be able to run sheep underneath, so it is an agrivoltaics model. And so it really is another case of diversifying land use within a rural environment.
He says solar farm projects are gaining momentum.
The fact that we've got resource consent here for our fifth development in the national portfolio really does show that there is an impetus growing behind the development of solar in terms of renewable energy generation in New Zealand. New Zealanders are becoming more and more familiar with the technology and with the concept and with, I believe, the need to actually create more renewable electricity. And solar is a technology that has been underutilised in the country, and we're really starting to see it take off now.
That's Greg Hay, and the company's also building a solar farm in Pukenui in the far north, one at Edgecombe in Bay of Plenty, and it has two consents for two more solar farms in Waiotahi and Foxton. And we'll speak with the Rangitiki Mayor about the project in Midday Report, Corin.
Very good. Yes, you've got to start somewhere. I saw a recent solar farm in India, I think, the biggest in the world. They're building, it was about 15 or 16 million households it was going to power. So this is the way of the future, it does seem. Now, a new project is aiming to improve the survival of young green shell mussels.
Yes, and those behind the project say it could provide a multi-million dollar boost for the aquaculture sector. Fewer than 5% of wild caught young spat survive once they've been transferred to mussel farms. Marine Farming Association General Manager Ned Wells says the poor survival's holding the industry back. He says success comes down to feeding them well in that nursery stage.
It takes a surprising amount of resource to keep the mussels fed. So both lab-grown microalgae and pond-cultured phytoplankton can be used. But for this, you need a dedicated lab and you need quite large ponds. This project hopes to develop an off-the-shelf type product that will allow for smaller and cheaper nurseries to be built. We've got, I guess, mussel farmers and researchers across the country lined up to do various bits of the research, and the trials of the mussels themselves, so taking the nursery-reared mussels and putting them in the ocean and on marine farms. It'll take place in probably the Tasman district and also at farms in Marlborough and the Coromandel.
The three-year $1 million project is being jointly funded by the government and industry, and green shell mussel earnings will play a big part in the government's goal of tripling aquaculture sales revenue to $3 billion by 2035. And to other news, the Labor Party's asking the government to urgently rethink reinstating live animal exports by sea. Labor's animal welfare spokesperson Rachel Boyack says an estimated 130,000 cattle have been saved in the year since a ban came into effect. She says it's extremely disappointing the government plans to take the country backward by reinstating the practice as it's campaigned on. In March, Associate Minister of Agriculture for Animal Welfare, Andrew Hoggard, well, he said the government was seeking advice on amending the legislation and that it would go out for full public consultation first. Furthermore, a parliamentary petition urging the government not to repeal the ban, it was started by former National Animal Welfare Advisory Committee Chair Dr. John Hellstrom. Well, it's now gained more than 34,000 signatures since March.
Thank you very much, Monique. Monique Steele there with your rural update this morning.